romantic and exciting and like something out of a novel. So I was attracted to it right away.
Introducing two new residents making headlines in Skagway and the Chilkat Valley. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Tara Bicknell. Those stories and more coming up. If you haven't heard of Gail Deaton or Krista Kilsmeyer by now, you're not paying very close attention. Their names are the newest bylines in your neighborhood newspapers. Gail's with the Skagway News and Krista's with the Chilkat Valley News. The two reporters came on in the past month to assist editors Jeff Brady in Skagway and Tom Morfitt in Haines with the endless research, interviews, and story writing that make local print news possible in the Northern Panhandle. Gail Deaton is writing for the Skagway News.
Well, actually, I was working as a government grant writer. I've worked in the newspaper business for years and had sort of tried to, you know, be normal and get out for a bit. But I still would look at journalismjobs.com at the ads and think, oh, would that, you know, that might be nice or that might be nice. And then I read Jeff's ad and I was like, ooh, that sounds really cool. You know, it sounds so romantic and exciting and like something out of a novel. So I was attracted to it right away.
She attended the University of Missouri at Columbia, a school known for its journalism curriculum. She has a little more than 10 years' experience as a news writer, including work at some small daily and community papers, and an internship at the Courier Journal in Louisville. Skagway News editor Jeff Brady says full-time, year-round Deaton will eventually be doing most of the reporting for the bimonthly publication. He adds the paper will continue with their summer intern program, too. As for Brady, he is going to spend more time on the bookstore.
For winter projects, I've got some books I want to get published that have kind of just been hanging for a few years. And just working on doing some things to help other parts of the business. It's just after 33 years, you just kind of get tired of one meetings. I mean, I'm interested in everything. It's just gotten old, you know. And I think everybody understands that. That's kind of the reason why I put the paper on for sale.
Brady wrote late last month that there's been little buying interest in the newspaper bookstore operation, which has been for sale for 2.5 years. That was part of the reason why he brought on a full-time reporter. He's continuing as the editor-publisher, sports and recreation reporter, and advertising representative for the Skagway News. And he assures he's not going anywhere.
I just want to work to keep the business going and, you know, do what I can here and there. I really like the book publishing part of it.
Deaton moved here with one of her sons last month, and a second plans to join them later this winter. They arrived from central Kentucky, Frankfort, population 30,000, rolling hills and horse farms.
It takes forever to get here. We drove for like 3 days nonstop, it seemed like, except to, you know, sleep in the hotel, and then the ferry takes 3 days. So it takes a while to get here. I have a 12-year-old son, Max. He's in the 7th grade, and I have a 14-year-old who will join us after Christmas break. He'll be a freshman.
The ad she responded to get the job included a colorful description of the gateway to the Klondike, which Brady wrote himself.
I like the idea that it was smaller and that it was, you know, owned by an individual, which means to me that, you know, he decides what goes in and what doesn't versus, you know, some corporate policy. So newspapers are, the larger ones are more and more corporate and they're sort of a dying industry back home.
Earlier this year, Krista Kilsmeyer, way over in Iowa, had also been checking up on the same Journalism Jobs website about the same time Deaton was. Every day for 3 years, Krista looked at the new postings, but it wasn't until a reporter job opened in Haines that Kilsmeyer finally applied for one of the site's offers.
And this is literally the first one I applied for after 3 years of looking at it every day just as kind of fun.
Kilsmeyer got the job and accordingly is the newest name behind articles at the Chilkat Valley News.
I came from Altoona, Iowa, right in the middle of Iowa. I just decided that I could try something a little bit more adventurous, maybe. So I just decided to try for this one and ended up getting it.
So after 3 years of monitoring journalism jobs all over the world, what was it about Haines that sounded so appealing?
Usually what I do is I just type in the name of the town in Google Images to see if there are mountains. So I typed in Haines, Alaska, and bam, there's the mountains. And I was like, okay, well, that meets that qualification. And then it just sounded, I wanted something that was just really unique, and definitely having it be, the job description basically said 4 hours by ferry, which when we got here, we found out it's only 2.5 hours if you get the good ferry. So just kind of just the very remote aspect, I just thought it would be something that most people don't get to do. And believe it or not, some of the descriptions of the job sounded adequate for me as far as amenities in town. You know, just have a really good library, have a swimming pool. I don't really need much. So having those things, I was like, oh, great. That's great.
66 people applied for the job that Kilsmeyer got, says Chilkat Valley News editor Tom Morfitt.
We had a lot of applicants from people who wanted the Haines lifestyle and wanted to go kayaking and hiking and live in the outdoors. And Krista's resume indicated that she wanted to report, and the job is reporting. And I think she graduated cum laude or magna cum laude from Northwestern's Medill School of Journalism, which is a prestigious school of journalism. So we feel lucky to have gotten her. I guess she's a traditional newspaper journalist, old school newspaper journalist, and we have an old school newspaper, and she understands what the news is and how to get it. So we feel really fortunate.
It seems Tom's really engaged in the community, knows pretty much everyone. So I have almost given up hope on ever kind of scooping him on things, but maybe I will eventually.
Kilsmeyer grew up in Dysart, Iowa, population 1,300. That's one of the reasons why she thought she might be a good fit for the job.
I thought at least in a pile of applications, it might make me be taken a little bit more seriously that I'm not from New York City, and thought, oh, that sounds like fun, because you have to kind of have some sort of small town experience to kind of have a little bit of an idea of what you might be getting into.
While finishing her degree in journalism at Northwestern University, she got experience in magazine and newspaper writing. Here in the Chilkat Valley, Kilsmeyer's job requires her to learn a lot more about town than the average new resident.
Well, the one thing that makes it hard here is just that you feel if you were here for 10 to 15 years, you still would have so much less knowledge than other people who've been here forever. So the struggle is not to sound completely ignorant about everything. Because I lived in Iowa my whole life, so I knew pretty much every famous person in Iowa, you know, famous person to Iowans, I guess, and all that history of, you know, 20, 22 years of living there, and to come in here kind of completely blind, that's been hard, but people are understanding because they're probably just used to people coming in.
But now that she's here, she says she doesn't feel the isolation she first thought she would.
It just seems like there's just such a diversity of people from all over the world, and also, since people are kind of moving around a lot, it's not as maybe intimidating to come in as a new person as other small towns where you just feel like you totally stick out because you're the one new person. Because I've already met so many new people and no new people coming in. So it's just kind of a small town that feels like a big city in terms of the people that are in it.
Some coastal Alaska communities are looking to the ocean for power. They might keep an eye on Oregon, where marine energy developers are looking for ways to make electricity from the sea. The alternative energy sector has been slow to coalesce around one technology. In fact, unconventional ideas are blooming like algae. Northwest News Network correspondent Tom Bonzi reports on the proliferation of creative electric engineering on the coast.
It's a mouth-watering display if you're an ocean energy developer. Huge waves crash against the jetties at the mouth of Tillamook Bay. Columns of spray shoot into the air. One company is thinking about redesigning these jetties with electricity generators built inside.
When the waves crash or hit against this device, water fills these chambers and runs into the back where the turbine is. And basically, it's very similar to a hydroelectric dam where water just flows through and drives the turbine.
Stephanie Thornton is the American Program Director for the aptly named Norwegian company Wave Energy. Thornton describes her industry as in its infancy. It's in a period of great experimentation, the panoply of creative technologies.
Once they figure out if it can work from a technical standpoint, then it's the business side of it. The economics may be the key issue.
For now, for every failed pioneer company, about two new startups show up on our coast, by my count. A Scottish firm called Aquamarine Power is one of several new foreign companies scouting here. Aquamarine rep Teresa Wissner recently described her firm's nearshore device to the Tillamook County Commission. It's called the Oyster. It's a very large mechanical flap resting on the sea bottom.
What happens is as a wave comes in from the ocean, it forces the top of the oyster down onto some pistons. And those pistons force that water into high-pressure water line that goes ashore to what's called a Pelton wheel, which is one of the oldest ways of generating electricity.
First to connect to the grid will likely be a bobbing buoy generator next year off Reedsport. Ashby says the floating wind farm also seems plausible near term because wind power is well understood.
The others have got new technology that needs to be tested. It's not really existing anywhere in the world right now. And so the devices that produce the energy and their ability to withstand salt water, corrosive elements, need a lot of work yet.
Ashby says community acceptance also needs some work yet. At the port of Garibaldi, Oregon, Darren Mobley prepares his boat for winter crabbing. He's among the many fishermen and crabbers who remain skeptical of ocean energy.
Yeah, and they're talking about a big area around them that would be closed to fishing. Yeah, we can't afford to have any more fishing ground taken from us.
Electric generation attached to a jetty is the only idea that wins favor from this fisherman. Another boat owner wonders why she should give up her beautiful ocean to make costly electricity, which may just go to California. I'm Tom Bonsi in Tillamook, Oregon.
Reporting for KHNS, I'm Tara Bicknell.